Does traveling to Greece and Italy sound interesting to you? If so, we'd like to invite you to come with us on Mormonism Research Ministries' trip to these biblical lands in September 2014. In Italy, we'll see the Appian Way, the Catacombs, and Paul's House. In Greece, imagine the experience of seeing Corinth and Athens, two very important New Testament cities. Want more information? Visit theapologeticstudybibletour.com, all one word. Again, that's theapologeticstudybibletour.com. We'd love to have you with us. Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Before we begin our topic today, we just want to say thank you to all of you listeners out there who have supported this ministry with not only your prayers, but your financial support. It is certainly needed because, as you can imagine, radio ministry is not very cheap. It is expensive. And we do thank you for wanting to help out with that. And if you have not considered this ministry as being a part of your missionary giving, we certainly hope that you would pray about it. And again, we do thank you for that.
How can somebody give if they wanted to give on the internet?
Well, they can do it online at mrm.org. There's a donate button there. Or if they want to send a check, they can do that to Mormonism Research Ministry and send it to our P.O. Box 1746, Draper, Utah, 84020. That's P.O. Box 1746, Draper, Utah, 84020. In the Mormon Times, the August 11th issue, there was an article titled Spiritual and Intellectual Inquiry: Latter-day Saints Navigate Faith and Doubt in a Digital World. It was an article written by Joe Walker, and it talks about some of the things that we've been talking about for the past several weeks, and even mentions Hans Mattson specifically. And of course, if you've been listening to our past shows, you know that we have been looking at the Stockholm Q&A that took place back in 2010, in November of 2010. It was a fireside where two Mormon historians were sent back to Stockholm, Sweden, to try and answer questions that some of the Swedish members had back there. This article starts off by talking about those who actually find answers that confirm their Mormonism, but it also talks about some of those who do not find the answers that are satisfactory in order to continue believing in Mormonism. What does the article actually have to say
there? It says, according to research conducted by the Pew Research Center's Forum on Religion and Public Life for its landmark Mormons in America study last year, a significant majority, 77%, of those who identify themselves as members of the LDS Church, quote, believe wholeheartedly in all the teachings of the church, end quote.
Shouldn't that be worded a little bit differently? Now, I know it's probably a given that they believe wholeheartedly in all that they know about the teachings of the church, but I don't think there's a whole lot of members who really know all of the teachings of the church. And that's given to me, at least. It sounds like these are very knowledgeable people who know just about everything there is to know about Mormon history and doctrine. I don't usually find a whole lot of people like that when I'm talking to Mormons.
Well, I don't think a lot of the people that were at this meeting with Hans Mattson would have probably known much 5 years ago. And probably it was somebody like Mattson who starts to find these things out and start to tell other people that they start to get riled up, the things that they're finding on the internet. So I think you're right. That's a good point that there's a lot of information that you don't know. What's our ability to know anything anyway?
Well, let me repeat my little test that I've done many times with Latter-day Saints by simply asking them if they were to draw a circle on a piece of paper based on how much they feel they know about Mormon history and doctrine, how much of that circle could they honestly fill in? Now, I've had some Mormons say, oh, I could fill it all in. But yet, usually by the time I get to this question, I've already proven to them that there's a lot about Mormon history they didn't already know just in my conversation with them. So that answer is really kind of silly. If you're honest, you would have to admit that there's going to be a lot of white area. Because as you just said, Eric, not everybody knows everything about anything. And yet some Mormons, when they talk to us, they certainly do seem to be oblivious to some of the things that we've talked about, written about, and of course use in our everyday discussions with our LDS acquaintances. So how much would they really know? And that really gets to this whole issue. If this was not such a big deal, why are they having articles like this in the Mormon Times? Why are they having Q&A sessions like they had back in Stockholm, Sweden in November of 2010? Why did Mormon Terrell Givens have some kind of talk just not too long ago in Utah County about this same kind of issue, inviting questions of from people who are having doubts about what they believe in? This is, I don't know if the right word would be academic proportions, but it is certainly an issue. And even this article quotes Richard L. Bushman, who said you could prove there is more disaffection from Mormonism now than before. And he attributes it to the information that is available on the internet, which of course is what caused the Swedish members to start doubting when they started finding information on the internet. Now, what bothers me about this article is it quotes Michael Ash. And Michael Ash makes the comment, he says, quote, someone is working on a lesson or a talk for church, and in his or her research, they stumble on some information that upsets them, he said. Quoting again, they look into it more and find a whole bunch of anti-Mormon stuff, and suddenly finding the real answers doesn't matter anymore. Now, wait a minute. They find a whole bunch of anti-Mormon stuff?
That's a loaded word if I've ever heard one.
First of all, Mr. Ash, what is this anti-Mormon stuff that you are referring to? I would almost guarantee you that the anti-Mormon stuff that he's talking about are probably quotations on sites that are critical of Mormonism that are citing Mormon material.
Take, for instance, polygamy and polyandry. I mean, these aren't things that we're making up on our own. We take their information that we're learning from LDS historian books, and we're taking that information and putting it on the internet. And if it was just anti-Mormon information, then the people in Sweden would be easily swayed by the two gentlemen who came to try to assuage all of their fears and their concerns.
Well, think about it this way. If I was to get on the internet and merely spout a bunch of my unfounded opinions about Mormon individuals, and this is what I see a lot when I hear, when I read Mormon blog sites complaining about some of these quote-unquote anti-Mormons. They pick out some of the worst examples, which I don't find on a lot of the real credible websites that discuss this issue, I think, more professionally. That would not affect a Mormon. I don't think those kind of things would really affect a Mormon. A person's personal opinion that may not like Mormon individuals, that's going to really cause a Mormon to leave the church? I doubt it. But when they read on some of the websites, and I would have to include ours in theirs because we are very careful in citing their own material. And I think that's what upsets people, because they are seeing on sites like MRM and Utah Lighthouse's website and others like it, they are seeing quotations from LDS sources. And the Mormon knows that they are going to have a difficult time ignoring this, because it is their own source. That seems to be the most effective. So when he talks about this anti-Mormon stuff, I'm sorry, I just can't take a statement like that very seriously.
As we're looking at this poll and the graphs that they provide on this article, we see that we had mentioned 77% of all U.S. Mormons say that they believe virtually or wholeheartedly in all of the teachings of the church, but it goes up with college, some college or college graduate, 81% for college, 85% for college graduate. How would you explain this, Bill, that the more educated you are, the more likely you are to accept this whole thing? But I'm going to suggest that more of your college or college graduate folks that are out there who are Latter-day Saints, probably the majority, and I don't have anything to back this up, but the majority of them, I'm guessing, probably went to a two-year mission or an 18-month mission if they were female.
Or maybe even graduated from Brigham Young University.
Very possible. And so once you go on a mission, in my mind, you're going to be much more solidified. Of course, there are people like Micah Wilder and others who do end up leaving the church later. We hear of that all the time. But more likely, I have found, if you're an RM, that's a pretty good label. You come home, the girls are after you, you get married within a year, you have kids, you're so busy, you get a calling, and before you know it, you're 55 years old, and you know, you've been faithful all those years. So perhaps that's the idea, that when you come back, oftentimes they're going to go on a mission, or they're going to come back from the mission, they're going to be going to college, finish up, and move on from there.
It could also be, too, that the way the questions were asked would determine how the questions are answered. If you're a member of the Mormon Church, do you really want to go public with some of the criticisms that you might personally hold to? A lot of Mormons don't want to face that, and so it's easier for many of them to just go along with the flow and just act as if they're going along with everything that the church teaches. I don't know. I really don't have an answer for that.
It's amazing, though, because there's an average of 77%, but only 66% of those who have high school or less. So this is not just an education issue. It's not a knowledge issue. You've talked about that before.
I think it could prove the point that we've made many times, that this is a spiritual issue that we're dealing with. Because what is the one common question that we get when we go to churches during our Q&A periods? There's inevitably someone who's going to say something like, how can people living in the 21st century believe some of these things? Our pat answer is what the Bible teaches us in the New Testament, that this is not an intellectual thing. This is a spiritual battle that we're dealing with, because you can have otherwise very intelligent, very well-educated people believe things that are doctrinally in error. It's possible. It does happen.
I don't know if I necessarily like it, but it's an interesting statement. It says, anecdotal evidence suggests that other Latter-day Saints have been frustrated because the information and materials they are finding during internet searches may not square with the things they have learned. Anecdotal?
Yeah, anecdotal. The fact is that is exactly what caused Hans Mattson to start questioning a lot of these things. And this is what, of course, was presented to him prior to his search into some of these historical issues. People that he knew that were members of the church were coming to him with some of the questions that they had regarding what they were finding on the internet.
Real quick stat, 1990, they were growing by more than 4%, the Mormon church, with its convert rate. Today, it's less than 2%.
Any Mormon who tries to give the argument that we're the true church because we're growing really has not been keeping up on the statistics. As you mentioned, they peaked back in 1990 with, 330,800 and some odd convert baptisms at that time. And they have not reached that number since that time. And you would think that they would, especially with all the missionaries that they've had over the years. But it doesn't seem to be the case. Tomorrow, we're going to continue looking again at this, what's known as the Swedish rescue that took place in November of 2010.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. If the LDS Church is not true, which church is? Didn't the Bible predict the apostasy of the Christian faith? These and 34 other questions often posed by Latter-day Saints are addressed in Kriegel Publisher's new book, Answering Mormons' Questions, written by MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson. Included is a glossary of Mormon terms and questions for group discussions. This is a great resource for those who want to share their Christian faith. Answering Mormons' Questions is available at the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore or at mrm.org.